Cool. Yay. Can okay. you hear me? Excellent.
But why isn't the music playing?
I don't know.
So can people hear us on the radio right now?
Yeah. So, hey, everybody. Like welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. As well as it's me, LaVon. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
It's October 9th, 2015. First of all, thank you guys for joining us. If you haven't figured out already, we are graciously here on UCY Monday through Friday. And
yeah, there you go.
He's the mastermind of a made-up thing.
You want to try it?
It's this really awesome word called shindiganins.
There you
four
go.
Or five times I got it, so
we practiced all evening.
I practiced for like weeks, so go try and say that now. You want to tell people a little bit about
what
that
shindiganins,
and then
is?
We'll get into it later.
Well, it's just a concept in regards to reaching a bilingual audience. I speak both English and Spanish very, very well, and I feel like there's a lack of content out there for people who are well-versed in these both languages. So I kind of want to provide just an outlet for people, just anything and everything. It comes from the words in English, shindigs and shenanigans, and a Spanish word, chingaderas. I'm actually not sure if I can say that on the radio, but it's just a whole mix of just random things. So as I develop my space, for everybody, I'm looking forward to just changing the world in a different kind of angle. So look out for that.
Woo! Well, thank you for being here. We're going to cover the news.
We
actually did a planned show.
This is the first time. Woo!
Okay.
So going back a few weeks. Oh, no, going back to the week's news. We're going to start with an article by Nick Burnaby from last week that's titled, Day After Warning Russia About Civilian Casualties. U.S. bombs Afghan hospital.
So, this is a tragedy. We've got several articles on the topics, and we're going to highlight a segment from each of them. If you guys aren't aware, there was a horrible tragedy that occurred over the weekend, just after our last program. And just let me start by saying that I'm disgusted.
It's pretty bad.
F you. Decision makers, I'm not saying any names, but seriously, it's horrible because up to 20 civilians were killed by a United States airstrike in Afghanistan. It hit a hospital, right? And according to reports, another 37 people have been injured and many more remain unaccounted for. The hospital is operated by a French affiliate of Doctors Without Borders and was the only functioning health facility in the area. According to The Guardian, the hospital was hit during an aerial bombardment on Saturday morning in the besieged city of Kunduz, excuse me, I said something else, destroying a large portion of the facility. An MSF source told The Guardian that up to 20 Afghan members and staff and patients were killed and dozens more injured. They said the death toll could rise further. You guys can read that entire story if you want, because we've got other stories on the same topic that we want to touch on as we tell you about this. Basically, what happened is we bombed them. We changed our story several times, right? We want to get into that.
Yeah, actually, Claire Burnish from Anti-Media made a note how the story... The official story by the United States was changed several times as the story developed throughout the weekend.
And one of the things they said is, okay, that they didn't know that their guided missile, was going to hit a documented facility. We have this wonderful thing. It's a new technology. It's called the Global Positioning System. And it basically, it's really crazy, guys. It identifies by satellite the exact coordinates and location of things. Did you know this?
Yes, I
did. You did? Okay, maybe the government didn't know this, but that would be something really, really beneficial to add to a missile. Like, because you could guide it. Imagine, like, you could tell it where to go.
Right.
You could say, hey, go here.
But I do believe
and it could go there.
Don't they already have those?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they should use it It could clear up a lot of this.
Well,
type
I mean,
of
that actually kind of goes to show. I think it was more done on purpose because they do have that technology.
No, yeah, no, so. That's there's no way that's true.
No, right? The government is after.
No, they're to protect and serve us. And, yeah. Don't lie to me. Don't sell me dreams. There's no way. So
I have a feeling, you know, like that it might be orchestrated, but I'm not.
And that's a good segue. We have an article here that Ms. Claire wrote, and her perspective is that there was a relation to the bombing and the TPP, right? So we want to talk about that because it's really important, and that's going to be a segment that we dive into further here in the show.
And I'm looking for it. I know we kind of got it ready, but I don't even remember.
It's okay. I can look it up here, too. So, gosh, make sure you guys follow along with us on theantimedia.org. You guys can also call us and talk about these topics if they strike a chord with you, something you're passionate about, or maybe you have questions. We'll do our best to answer. Our number is 1-718-717-8296.
So the article you were talking about from Claire Burnish was, did Obama bomb Doctors Without Borders for opposing TPP? She begins with her article, had the president of the Nobel Peace Prize winning Doctors Without Borders not warned us of the imminent threat to global health posted by the TPP? Would these 22 doctors and patients have lost their lives early Sunday? According to the nurse, Lajo Sultan, I don't know exactly how long, but it was maybe half an hour afterwards that they stopped bombing. I went out within the project coordinator to see what had happened. What we saw was the hospital destroyed, burning. So this just goes back into more details of what was going on with the bombing. Mm-hmm. And as we go into Claire's article.
New problem. I'll continue here. So harsh criticism and skepticism surround what is being labeled an errant U.S. bombardment of a hospital in Kunduz that left 22 people dead, many of them volunteers. With the Doctors Without Borders.
Médecins Sans Frontières.
Okay, you can read all the French things.
The
humanitarian aid agency, but doubt lingers about the vague official story for a reason. Doctors Without Borders calls the airstrike a war crime. Mm-hmm. So why do they have to blow up the whole hospital, pleaded Nasrullah, whose 25-year-old cousin Akbar was among the doctors killed in the bombing. We know that the Americans are very clever. If they can target a single person in the car from their planes, why do they have to blow up the whole building?
That's a
great question. And that goes back into what we were saying about that magical GPS thing. So the ostensible explanation, according to the rumor centered on reports, Taliban forces had entered the location and were using the cover of the hospital to fire on coalition forces. Christopher Stokes, MSF General Director, irately stated, not a single member of our staff reporting fighting inside the MSF hospital compound prior to the U.S. airstrike Saturday morning. The hospital was full of MSF staff, patients, and their caretakers. It's a 12 MSF staff members and 10 patients, including 3 children who were killed in the attack.
Oh my God, the kids were there too?
Yes. Is something being overlooked, Claire goes on to say. So U.S. forces conducted an airstrike in the city at 2:15 a.m., their local time, on October 3rd against individuals threatening the force. The strike may have resulted in collateral damage, as they call it, to a nearby medical facility.
Is that the dust that gets, like, picked up after?
It's what happens when Americans kill people.
Oh, okay.
But in other places, they call it.
Well, we can't call it that.
Yeah, no, we can't be. We can't be responsible for that because we fight that.
Well, isn't that what the whole war is going? What we're doing over there in Iraq against?
Well, we're the watchdogs of America. There's no way we would create such catastrophe. There's no way.
Believe it.
So, where was I here? This incident is under investigation, stated International Coalition spokesperson Colonel Brian Tribus. This attack is aberrant and a grave violation of international humanitarian law. We demand total transparency from coalition forces. We cannot accept that this horrific loss of life will simply be dismissed as collateral damage. And we want to talk about the follow-up on that, too, after this. But the main point that we want to make in this particular article is that Doctors Without Borders vocally opposes the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Just broke news this week again.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to talk about that now? Or you want to go on that to that later?
We can touch on that as soon as we touch on that.
Okay. So the TPP is something that we've personally been covering for a couple years since we've heard news of it. And it's been a very transparent thing.
If anything, we could probably just cut into it if you want.
No. Claire goes on to say that if circumstances of any incident appear not to add up, it's pertinent to thoroughly examine the current narrative for the signs that the state is attempting to mold public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it is there you will find the truth that you're not being told. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of MSF, a massive treaty cum trade deal involving U.S. interests in other part of the world from the tragedy in Kunduz can offer perhaps insight which might otherwise seem unrelated. Ooh, tell me. As it turns out, MSF have been particularly vocal critics of the impending Trans-Pacific Partnership, and their criticism hasn't gone unnoticed.
It was reported in the National Journal in May. It's not usual business for us, and the reason is because we're very worried, explained Judith Ruiz San Juan, who oversees Doctors Without Borders' drug access campaign, in a phone interview. We are doing anything we can to make sure the public is aware. Though the Nobel Prize-winning group has actively but reservedly opposed the massive TTP deal for years, recent letters to President Obama and a campaign of subway ads on the D.C. Metro show a more urgent public push. San Juan admitted such a robust effort is not usual practice for us. What is so presenting for the public to know is that it led the group to abandon its typically subdued tone. Simply drug costs, specifically the intellectual property and patent laws that will favor drug companies should the TPP take effect. So what? There's hidden motives behind this TPP? We should probably start covering it.
Coincidentally, the TPP negotiations are wrapping up today. Negotiations reached a head over the weekend for the 12-country Trans-Pacific Partnership, as Australia and the U.S. attempted to hammer out differences over intellectual property rules for the next generation biologic medicines. Though the U.S. seeks to keep a 12-year period in place for pharmaceutical companies to retain exclusive rights over clinical data, Australian Trade Minister Andrew Robb reportedly won't budge past a 5-year limit. At issue is data exclusivity. Thank you. The longer the information is held, the longer it takes for generics to reach the market. Ooh, that's interesting. Because generics. Australia's current arrangements are completely adequate, and any proposed changes are non-negotiable. And this is the red line issue for us, Sir Rob. After 5 days of marathon talks for the TPP in Atlanta, negotiations were pushed back again, but a vote could come as soon as Monday night. And we're going to follow up with that. She goes on to say, in her most beautiful tone here, that protecting profit versus saving lives.
It would force them to change the law of many of these countries that are currently negotiating to create a new intellectual property protections for pharmaceutical drugs, including, but not limited to, patents. San Juan explained about the deal as exposed by WikiLeaks in 2013. The effects of these new obligations would limit generic combinations, would limit generic competition, and therefore increase the cost of medicine. This has put Médecins Sans Frontières at odds with the White House, as the National Journal delicately described. A recent letter to Obama from MSF clearly alluded to the humanitarian nature of the group's opposition to the trade deal. MSF believes this is essential to closing the gap in access to medicines to millions of people around the world. The TPP could be an opportunity to make a significant progress towards these goals. Instead, its current state, the TPP is a threat to the health of millions. As evidenced in the Kunduz hospital bombing and numerous military campaigns in the Middle East and elsewhere, the human toll likely isn't the priority first call to mint by the U.S. government. After this attack, MSF decided to pull its operations from Kunduz for the foreseeable future, as Jex lamented. The hospital has been my workplace and home for several months, yet it is just a building, but it is so much more than that. It is healthcare for Kunduz. Now it is gone. What is the benefit of this? Destroying a hospital and so many lives for nothing. I cannot find words for this. Oh my God, so they closed down the hospital and now this cause isn't helping their intended audience. This actually really makes me pretty bummed out, you know? There's all this shit that... I'm sorry for the language. Can I use that word?
I think you can say shit.
Oh, well,
shit, shit,
so
shit.
Should we say shit, shit?
Okay.
So shit.
Okay, go on. Tell me more.
So it just puts into perspective all these things that are going on that, I mean, Agoya Anti-Media is opening up people's eyes about that, right? So we're kind of like, it's about time where everybody out there starts doing something to change it. Right now, I think it's mostly just knowledge and spreading the word and helping people realize that stuff like this is has a facade, you know? They show something, but behind it, there's so much more.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we were to go into Derek's article, because I know he wrote it as soon as the TPP was announced. Derek Rose from the Anti-Media, in his article, while it loads. Maybe the computer would be better, huh?
We can, yeah. Oh.
Let's see what technology is faster. So, in 12 nations agree to deal on controversial TPP in Atlanta, we get a little bit more of the insight of what went on with the deal. As Derek Bros begins, or his narration, begins with a quote from the U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman, stating from Atlanta, Georgia, Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, the United States, and Vietnam are pleased to announce that we have successfully concluded the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. Making it sound good news. If anyone actually saw this, they really did their best in trying to, like, make this appealing to the people that were there. And I mean, I'm not a big politics follower, but I do know that there's something going on. And I do know that that they're going to do their best in not trying to expose this to us, you know. But luckily for them, luckily for us, and luckily for them, we have the beautiful internet. And it's giving us all this access to this world that we didn't have before. And so, but at least, did people see us, Jules? So we have our producer on the other.
Yeah. Test, test, test. Echo or no echo?
20 minutes we were not.
Voice or no voice. Well, we had to go. We had the green light that we were. Yes, we see and hear you on video. Oh, okay. We're fine. Apologies, we just got a message that.
So this is the second time that Yvonne is trying to do her video, so it's a lot of tweaking, but apparently we are still okay. So we were talking about the TPP, and we are talking about Derek Sprow's article, and it gives it a full in-depth analysis of what's going on and a little bit of... If you look closely at the motifs that are behind all this, it's something we have been covering a lot at the Anti-Media, or you guys have been covering it a lot at the Anti-Media. I'm just an avid follower and probably Anti-Media's number one cheerleader. But I got distracted with my own TV as a horse. I'm a lot more fun, I swear. Okay.
Like you said, Friday's fun. Fun news.
Fun Friday. We're trying to make this a very, very good Friday.
Well, we're reading you the news, and it often sucks.
Yeah,
it's horrible news. We're talking about children dying and a freaking conspiracy to take away our rights, especially what is intellectual property? You know, like that's something that is really important for people who utilize the internet. You're talking about how we're using it to spread knowledge and awareness and empower people. What threatens that ability the most, besides, you know, random bombs on your head, is that right being taken away. No other time in history can you hold the entire knowledge of it in your hand and go, what do I want to know today? You could do that all day, and you could essentially upgrade constantly.
So imagine if people weren't, like, focused on the dumb crap and if they just cared to actually do something for the world? Do you think that's even possible?
You sound like a dreamer. But I imagine that you're not the only one.
Oh.
Happy birthday, John Lennon.
Yes, happy birthday to John Lennon.
Okay, sorry. Couldn't help it.
We do have to give a shout out to John Lennon. Whatever. We were listening to the song and we couldn't play it. We got no authorization to play it because apparently it's under some sort of copyright.
Like some copyright or something. Whatever that is.
That one I'm not allowed to. And I say fudge. I stopped myself before fudging. You're supposed to take it at this.
Hold on 1 second here. We're getting another. What is going on here? Now we have no voice again. I'm very confused as to why. You think it's this?
It has. It's the ATR one.
Audio. Is that better? Miss producer, can you hear us now?
You know, you guys, we're sorry for this. When things go live, we never know what can happen. Let's just pretend this was an earthquake.
Okay, apparently everything's fine. We just keep getting mixed messages. Let's continue our program here. Okay, cool. So, as we were saying here, the ministerial meeting in Atlanta was expected to conclude on Friday, but dragged into Monday morning because of disagreements on dairy products and pharmaceutical regulation, which we talked about earlier. The controversial trade agreement must now be approved by the 12 individual nation states before it can officially become law. In the United States, President Obama must wait a minimum of 90 days before signing the agreement, and the full text of the agreement must be made publicly available for at least 60 days. This means that a congressional vote on the TPP will not likely happen before January. President Obama promised that Congress and the American people will have months to read every word. Oh, I can't wait. And stated
it's
that...
it's 2 months.
Right.
I guess he did it right. Thank you, Obama.
True. And stating that passing this agreement can help our businesses and sell more American-made goods and services around the world, and we can help more American workers compete and win. In late June, President Obama signed into law the so-called Fast Track Bill that set the stage for approval of this TPP. The Fast Track Bill, officially known as the Trade Promotion Authority, was one of the two bills signed by Obama. The president also signed the Trade Adjustment Assistance Act, aimed at extending aid to workers who might lose their jobs as a consequence of the TPP or other so-called free trade deals. At Monday's press conference in Atlanta, USTR Michael Froman discussed the expected benefits of approving the massive trade agreement that will affect 40% of the global economy.
We expect this agreement to promote economic growth, support higher-paying jobs, enhance innovation, productivity, and competitiveness, raise living standards, reduce poverty in our countries, and promote transparency in government and strong labor and environment protectors, Froman stated
as he kissed everybody else's ass. At right before wiping his nose of that brown nose he needed. Critics say the agreement investors state dispute settlement, or the ISDS, will give corporations loopholes to escape accountability and empower international bodies overriding national sovereignty of the
sovereignty
of the signing nations. Under the ISDS, foreign corporations will be allowed to appeal legal decisions to international tribunals rather than face domestic courts. Critics fear this could lead to loss of
sovereignty.
I've actually heard like an audio clip of this and it's
sovereignty.
And the enrichment of transitional corporations. So you're telling me that because they're going to be governed by this deal, if you break the law, then you're punished by this deal? So somehow they're setting up like...
Well, a lot of people have been speculating for a while now about like a global law enforcement, right? Or an order of the world.
Oh, yes, please.
I don't believe in most conspiracies. I have an open mind. But if anything were to reflect an order of a world or a global suppression...
sign me up.
I want in. No.
Who do I have to go down on?
This worries me. All this tricky words and insertion of smoke and mirrors.
You know, and that's a lot of, that's one of the biggest arguments that people have, and I think actually Bernie Sanders mentions this. You know, why things are so worded so long and
drawn out. First of all, most of us don't have that type of attention span nowadays. We live in a school
time.
Life.
And you know,
that's why we're reading you the news, because we know you don't have time to do it.
The part is that they do this on purpose. You know, it's like, well, let's just make it as long as we can to define one
We'll make it 5,000 pages.
To describe one word. We both got something. So the screen, apparently.
Anyways, it's, to clarify what you said, and it's threatening and it's scary. So here we go. Here, where were we in our article?
Well, we were talking about CDP and their deal. It happened this week, and so in an effort to not stay like Nick and Scott's show and discuss this, we were going to suggest our solutions to these problems, or actually point out people who are doing the solutions.
So how do you deal with your rights being taken away? And I'm always going to go back to this, is if you are in control of the quality of food that you eat, and its integrity, you know, it has a lot of integrity.
Well, you know what? Those wrappers are colorful.
That's why I'm so well-rounded. I eat the rainbow. No. Yes, besides...
I can't get rid of the packaging. The packaging is just awesome.
Anti-packaging.
It comes in paper bags, and sometimes it has a...
Honey, that's what we call food. It's spelled P-H-E-W-W-D. That's food. But you want to eat food. F-O-O-D, food. So food is a building block of life. It ensures that your cells, which are constantly repairing and healing, have really good tools to do that. So my argument is to ensure that everyone is living with love on, not off. You feed yourself good things. That, you know what I mean? It's all about balance. Like, what are you made of? So I think if people are concerned with being subject to modern-day slavery, take control of your health. Health is always going to equal wealth. Always. So, what the shit? We bombed a hospital? Like, you know how disgusted I was to say I live in America after that? Like, really? Like, and that's just one note. That's one thing that people know about. And that's only because... Let's talk about that.
Are you surprised, LaVon? We have really weird people in our country.
I'm not surprised. It's just I wanna alarm everyone who's not surprised. But Doctors Without Borders are demanding a full independent inquiry. They're not going to stop until there's an entire investigation. The Pentagon insists that they are conducting a full investigation themselves. And you can read the entire article as well on theantimedia.org by Jason Ditz. He posted it 2 days ago. So check it out if you guys want to hear the concluding message regarding that. And
you were touching earlier on how we pay with our dollars. Right?
Yes, and your dollar. We say a lot on this program that literally the most powerful thing you have right now until we're all trading like...
I think I said pay, but I meant vote.
Yeah, you vote with your dollars every single time you purchase something. And we have proof that this is so powerful because... Tell me.
The breaking news of the story, finally some good news from Monsanto. They created... these brand new clones of human beings.
What? I want four of me.
The best part is that they get to
LaVon and LaVon.
So you have your mini you and...
Wait, it's not like inside me? It's like, it's not like being pregnant?
Nope, okay. Your body stays as gorgeous and perfect as ever. So, but breaking news today, Monsanto to cut 2,600 jobs as world rejects its products and practices. Actually, very, very good news. From St. Louis, Missouri, Monsanto, the world's largest seed producer and chemical biotech giant, recently announced it would cut 12% of its employees due to an historic decline in stock value. What? People are losing interest in the show, in their products. I wonder why. Right, is Monsanto the same company that produces or creates Roundup? Oh, there might be a correlation. Monsanto, as Bloomberg reports, Monsanto Corporation said it will eliminate 2,600 jobs as part of a cost savings plan, joining a growing list of major corporations struggling to contain the damage from the decline in world commodities prices. The St. Louis-based agricultural giant announced reductions, equivalent to 12% of its workforce, as it reported that it lost 19 cents a share in the fiscal fourth quarter, and the warned profit would remain weak through 2016. The report continued, adding, Monsanto fell two whole cents to $88.06 in New York. The shares have dropped 26% this year. Profit will fall to $5.10. More numbers, blah, blah, blah. You can find more of that information in our article on Monsanto to cut 2,600 jobs. But this is what you're talking about, good news. You know, this is where
we empower people and educate them.
I believe March Against Monsanto might have had some influence, tiny bit, you know, because they probably blasted the evil ways of Monsanto. You know, I don't know well, a lot on Monsanto to say that I have a specific judgment on it. I do know that they have all types of products. You know, I do know Roundup is pretty bad. I've heard a lot of stuff about Roundup. Is there anything you'd like to...
Well, the thing about Monsanto is that their chemical compounds, basically the same thing that was used as a chemical weapon in war. Agent Orange, have you heard of this?
I have.
Yeah, and people are still suffering today, like genetic, horrible genetic things, and, you know, families have been tortured for generations.
Why were they there in the first place?
Besides being at the wrong time, at the wrong place. I'm just kidding. Effing Monsanto is a chemical company, and they operate under the guise of feeding the world, just like the watchdogs of America, perhaps, maybe. You know, we're going to save the world. We're going to keep everyone safe, but don't pay attention to us bombing them. Same story. We're going to feed the world, but don't pay attention to us poisoning them. Backwards land. Like, I didn't voluntarily come here, but I am going to voluntarily change it. Like, I don't want to live in backwards land. And that's how you do it. You go, you don't get my life, right? Because money is what you exchange your life for. You change your hours of life.
Unfortunately.
For a piece of paper. And then you're essentially buying things with your life. So,
but it's not just a piece of paper. It has numbers on it. And if you know the numbers, it has more value. I don't know if you learned this in basic math.
The more hours of your life you trade, the higher the numeric number on your dollar. Typically.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, usually like the more hours you spend doing something.
But I think nowadays they have it systemized so that all you have to do is like punch in a number, and whether you actually do work or not, you still get paid for that.
What? No.
It's so easy. Let me tell
you. Those jobs are called Congress.
Yes. And actually those guys have devices so that they don't actually have to plug in. It's already written in the Constitution where they just come in and come out. They replace. They don't worry about that. You know, it's like, who cares?
Yeah. That's another big point, though, is it's not just companies like Monsanto who are in conglomerates are like a virus that has spread to multiple multiple systems in the body. You know, it's not just the digestive system. They've got parts of their virus in all the systems, and the only way to kill that virus is to starve it. Like, just how you kill a virus in your body is you change the environment, right? And then it essentially dies. So we can change our environment, obviously.
We can, and we get the choice.
So we're kind of skeptical after reading this week's news, right? Just a little bit.
I've been skeptical ever since I've been reading the news at NTMedia. You know, actually, this is a special shout-out. I'm finally on the radio teacher. My English teacher from my freshman year in high school, Miss Allison, she's the one who taught me how to read past the propaganda bullshit. And it was because of her that I am now doing this. And anything I hear, anything I see, I criticize it, I question it, and I make sure that it's not...
Wait, a teacher taught you how to think critically.
One. Don't let anyone know. This is a gem, okay? Yes, she was not... To be fair, it was her first year teaching.
So she wasn't tainted.
Yes, it was her first year teaching high school.
You can't give them their own notions of, like, being powerful lady.
She came in trying to, she came in with the force. She came in with the force that we're trying to do here. And it worked. You know, she's a great influence behind me. And she knows it. I get to see her next week, actually. So
good.
I'm gonna send her a clip of this audio. It's like, hey, Miss Allison.
Check out how awesome my English is.
it's still a little broken, okay?
I love your English.
Es que yo soy bilingüe, así que no me da vergüenza. And sorry for a choppy show, you guys. I feel like, I think we're still kind of on track, right?
No, we're doing good.
We were talking about how skepticism, and so we're not the only one to notice this. There is someone pretty important that noticed it this
He's
week.
So important.
Yeah, why is he?
I wish I could do his voice.
So we were talking about Steven Seagal thinks many mass shootings are engineered by the government. I don't know what in his crazy mind would make him think that, but being that he probably comes from one of the most corporate worlds. What do they call it over there in L.A.? Hollywood? He might have some insight. There are a few issues right now more contentious than gun control, Jake Anderson reports. One of the issues happens to be false flag operations. Actor Steven Seagal has previously sounded off on both. In an interview with RT, the action star turned Second Amendment fundamentalist, claimed a lot of domestic shootings in America were engineered in order to drum up support for gun control legislation. Whether this is true or not, I mean, he has some validity to... in believing this, there's a lot of, at this point, it feels like everybody's kind of like, you know, yeah. And it sucks that because the government has been so skeptical with us and so evasive that if they are doing something genuinely good for us, too bad, like we're not buying it anymore, you know, or we were not able to distinguish between what's good and what's bad. I mean, there's common sense, of course, and there's other things that, granted, we are a free state, we have the freedom to learn. You know, I do come from Mexico, as you might not be able to tell or not. And our main drive to come here was education.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
As a born American citizen, I'd rather be aware that I'm living in a certain type of place than to be
blinded
via guise. It's so much manipulation. If I'm a slave, I want to know. Don't put me into all these systems because I was, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
I didn't ask to come here and pay Social Security tax. I didn't ask to come here and need insurance or license to operate my car that I own, or, you know what I mean? It's just, it's slavery. The fact that I bought my car. Here you go. I own this car now. Cool. Here's my title.
And it's not yours, though.
I gotta pay somebody to drive it. I gotta pay them to drive it, and I have to pay insurance. Why? Why can't I have 10 grand in my bank in case I get in an accident? Why I gotta pay every month? You know what I mean? Like,
well, what if you're the drunk one who gets in the
That should be everybody's personal responsibility as a person who chooses to have the privilege of driving. I'm just saying there are certain things that the little things that people think are common that strip away your freedom.
That's very true.
You should be able to travel in your car as a citizen, as a sovereign citizen who's born in this place without paying a license. I think the only people who should have to pay a license are people who are using the car to make money. Like if the government, you know, they tax you and you make money, okay, that person's using their car to make money like an ice cream man.
Okay, so, but think of this. Technology is, a car is pretty advanced technology. I mean, it could be pretty dangerous. It has killed many people. And so if you just gave the freedom...
Not as many as selfies, right?
Well, apparently selfies recently killed someone, right? I don't know.
Sorry.
Probably not. Probably selfies has leading role number in of deaths caused by selfies rather than car accidents or other car-related stuff. But my point is we're at a point where... Because there's always a dumbass. There's always that dumb one who messes this up for everybody else. There's always that one. Jesus. But now we deal with it. You know, it's like, all right, well, now because they couldn't... I'm sure there was a point where we didn't need licenses. You know, they were creating these cars. They were making them. They were producing them. Buy one, have one, you know? I think that's how it worked. And so... Eventually, as people were getting out of hand with their driving, and I guess driving is not for everybody. So I think that's where the paying for a license comes. You know, like you probably shouldn't have to pay for that permission. You know, I would be, if anything, I would be like, if they're going to try to regulate, they should pay for the regulation themselves. You know, because in reality, these fees are paying the system or whatever it's working itself. You know, it's like, we shouldn't pay for that. I agree with you. You know, maybe it's like, all right, you guys want to give us rules and you take care of taking care of the rules. You know, like, I don't care for driving without a license. Are we still having technical difficulties?
For some reason, our radio's cool, but we're coming over double on the video. I'm not quite sure why. I apologize, guys. We'll do more tests next week and make sure we don't have any issues. So if you're hearing my echo, you get to hear me twice at the same time. Like, consider yourself lucky. Mm-hmm. Two Levons at once. Hey, I got a clone. Woo!
We were talking about
clones. Yeah, we were talking about clones. So we've covered so many topics on the show tonight, mostly about how...
Steven Seagal is not...
how a lot of things are not as they seem. And the most important message from the show tonight that you take is, number one, please don't be afraid to exist in this place. Because you're enrolled in life school. And because
weird is okay.
Every moment is a lesson. And are you paying attention? Because that's what's so important about this program is enough people don't hear that. No one's walking around saying, hey, Jimmy, you're great. Did you know that? You know what I mean? Everybody's so afraid to interact with each other. And it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to exist.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, because one of my great teachers, I don't know him personally, but he's a unknown mentor of mine. He doesn't know. Is Marshall Rosenberg. I talk about him a lot. He's a founder of nonviolent communication. Maybe you've heard me say that. And I share a philosophy with him because I think that people are innately good. You know, like based on the function of our cells. Our cells are conspiring literally all the time to be better. That's why I call this life school. If my cells are going to try and be better every moment, shouldn't I intellectually, consciously have the same notion as the self? The selfie! I made that up today. Anyways,
the word selfie?
Selfie, but C-E-L-L. Selfie. I'm like 30 trillion selfies. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the philosophy is...
And some dead ones up here, too.
Hey, I don't brush my hair. I don't care. I don't care. Anyways, my point is that your body's conspiring to be its best. So having that conscious notion of, hey, I can get better, like, right now if I wanted to, is not common. And Mr. Rosenberg teaches that when people are violent, people are it's because
on the prowl,
just in general, if they're having some sort of you know, crazy behavior, they're angry, they're upset, they're anxious, whatever, depressed, whatever the case is, they're not having a basic need met. And I could not agree more, especially when I objectively look at the whole globe.
We need more hugs.
Not only more hugs.
People need hugs. People need to feel that human contact.
You know, babies die if they're not touched. Say a preemie baby's born and they just leave it in their little incubator. That poor little thing will die if nobody physically touches it.
I mean, out of nature.
We've forgotten how to do this because we're so much like this. Because you know what? Half of Americans don't have enough to eat. Why do you think that is? And I turn these wheels in my head all the day. It's because we're dropping bombs on people. We're funding perpetual war. I've been working on an article for the past 5 days now about a really awesome organization called Food Not Bombs. And I'm trying to make it short, but these people are amazing. Did you know about Food Not Bombs?
Sure.
It started in the 80s.
Tell me about it.
Okay, imagine you and I and Nick. We're at a protest for Monsanto, right? Nick gets
go Monsanto.
And we're like, no, Monsanto,
produce
no.
Cheap and Roundup.
Nick gets arrested, and you and I go, ugh, what are we going to do?
So good thing I already know
we cook a lot of food. Yeah, we cook a lot of food. And we go, hey, buy this food. You're not only supporting no war, but we're going to help get our buddy out. So this concept of raising awareness.
Wait, what was he in jail in the first place?
For being at a protest. Oh. So they hand out educational materials, which is not illegal, and they share food with people. And it's really cool because they don't have a formal leader. There are no rules other than everything has to be vegetarian. and recovered. Like, they go to, like, you have a restaurant. Hey, Jimmy, I'm doing a Food Not Bombs event. I'm trying to raise money for community gardens, you know? Like, could you donate some of your food so I can feed people and then gather some support to help grow gardens? Like, and they'd be like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this food away anyway. I mean, if you could use it.
No, but it's because you get sick.
No.
You sue them.
No. They practice. No, I'm glad you brought that up. On the Food Not Bombs website, they have a little release form that I could give to you as a manager if you were concerned with that.
How retarded is that? I'm sorry. How retarded is that?
That's my point. You have to go. It takes, that's paper. A freedom. That's a strip of your freedom. You should be able to feed whoever you want. You should be able to collect rainwater if you want. Plant food wherever you want. Like,
let me sign this release. Even if I don't know how to read, let me just sign this release so I can get food. You know, that's not fair.
We gotta meet the basic needs of the people, right? On a global level.
What are the basic needs of people?
Well, there's only four essential things that are necessary for life. That's oxygen, water, nerve impulse. Oxygen, water, nerve impulse, and food.
Explain the first two. Like, oxygen and water. I'm not quite... And food? What do you mean food?
That's my point, is that we've got this world in turmoil. How many of those people...
What about pursuit of happiness?
How many of those people have their needs met? Happiness is part of it.
Happiness...
But if people can't even eat... If they can't even eat properly...
Food is happiness.
What are they made of? And then how are they processing things? Like, imagine the modern Americans working 40 hours a week, not making enough to pay all their bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're concerned with, how am I going to survive? And then do you think they have time to read about how their country is spending their tax dollars killing children at hospitals?
Unless they don't have content.
And then when you do read such a thing, you go, that's not possible. And you write it off because it's so crazy that it can't be, but it is. And the whole message of the show is, don't feel disenchanted. Always stay enchanted. You can always control how much oxygen you have in your lungs, and that controls how much stress is in your body.
Time flew, LaVon. We had so much.
We did!
We had so much to talk about. I don't think we got through everything.
We didn't get through all of our topics, but that's okay. Thank you for being here.
I'm going to let them know, do the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo. I want to read with reading the lyrics.